With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Best Basketball Show on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host here for the series. It is Zach Kruger. You can follow on Twitter at ZK_FFB. We'll be running through pretty much everything that you need for your basketball season. Let the listeners know we're going to be running it for basically two shows a week, each Saturday and Monday, throughout the next month or two at least. We're hoping to hit you with between kind of 14, 15 of these shows to get you set up for success. On today's show, we are going to be covering modified zero RB. We have been teasing it throughout the series. We were wondering if it is a real thing, if it actually exists, and that's what we're going to put to the test today as we talk through it and how it can help you, if it is a real thing, help you win in basketball formats in 2021. So I guess the first thing, Zach, to start things off with, is it a real thing? People are wondering.
I did pose the question actually to Twitter a little bit before we did this show, and someone said it is real. One elite running back in round one, and then you draft about 40 wide receivers. So, Colin, I'm not quite sure if that's the exact definition, but I would say that the people who sometimes question the idea of modified zero RB, I think maybe the question that surrounds it is, how can you say not to draft a running back early, not to take a running back in round one, but now you're going to tell me that it's okay to take a running back in round one? And what I think I view modified ZRB as is basically acknowledging that the ZRB approach is obviously a fine approach, but there are still certain parameters that it has to fall within. If you didn't get a chance to listen to our ZRB episode, which we did, I believe it was in episode 3, definitely go back and listen to the ZRB episode where we talk about when we like to go ZRB, because I think when you're drafting in a round, in the first round, if you're not falling in what we consider to be the ZRB round, this is where maybe you still consider going ZRB, but you're doing it after selecting one of the elite running backs in the first round. It's almost kind of a requirement depending on where you're picking out of. Obviously, we're never going to take Tyreek Hill in the 101 over Christian McCaffrey. That may be when we consider doing a modified ZRB approach as opposed to, going ZRB no matter what, because we're just trying to stick to our preferred strategy or make a point. I think that there's definitely validity in the strategy, and it's honestly a great way to obviously add that elite talent while still sticking to what we consider to be a more than solid strategy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we've mentioned on a couple of shows is about being able to pivot depending on how the draft's fallen to you. You know, some people will call it zigging or zagging, or I tend to call it pivoting, where maybe it's not exactly the thing you've planned to do, but then the draft falls in a certain way, gives you these opportunities. You look through the road of his tools, it's telling you that this player is the player to take at this point. And, it's all about using the information to make those decisions rather than just going in and saying, like, I'm drafting no running backs in the first 8 rounds. I'm zero RB or nothing. That's not the way we do it. The way we do it is depending on where you're drafting and what is going to help you win your leagues, because that's what it is all about at the end of the day. Modified zero RB, as you mentioned, for me is basically a zero RB approach with a running back in that first round. And it's not just a running back in the first round. Like, we're not picking a running back at spot 12. It is going to be one of those elite running backs. So pretty much I call it modified zero RB. Some people call it, like, you know, elite zero RB. It just depends on what people want to call it. But
I've heard anchor running back approach, which I think is an interesting way to call it as well.
Yeah, that's probably another correct enough way to describe it. I think for the brand, we'll go with modified zero RB. It's all about branding. But when we look at who we're taking, like last year as a prime example, a number of leagues that me and Sean participated in together or separately might have drafted, you know, from the 6th spot through the spot 8. And a lot of the time in those leagues, Dalvin Cook was falling to those spots. You might have got Alvin Kamara at spot 6, depending on how the league was going. And in those situations, they were two players that we kind of had on our list that if we're getting those players at that point, they are, I guess if you want to call it the anchor, they are the player that we're going with at that point. And that zero RB can also mean like skipping the person who's at number 4 because you don't like them. And it can mean pushing Dalvin Cook up to spot 4, which we did in one of our high stakes leagues last year. And that was because we felt so strongly about his position, and that really worked very, very well for us last year. Now, that those things sometimes don't work out. I can tell you about David Johnson a couple of years ago. That definitely didn't work out from the 7th spot in those leagues. But the thought process behind it was still the same. And that there's where we're going. We're looking at zero RB. So we're looking at one of those top-end talents, the running back position, that gives you that kind of weekly starter, and then we're going into our zero RB approach. Now that can be getting a tight end in round 2 or a tight end in round 3 and getting those wide receivers, and ideally then we're stacking those wide receivers up, or those pass catchers as I like to call it, when we tag in those tight ends through those next kind of 7 or 8 rounds to build a successful roster. So once we decide to draft that running back in round 1, we go with that zero RB approach. We're carrying basically the zero RB approach on from there that we would have talked about the zero RB episode, but then we're filling it in with those other positions, and then we go back to running back a little bit later in the draft. So in terms of the running back position, we know that we're talking about taking one of them in the first round, but you know, when we're looking at zero RB, we've talked about like kind of waiting to after the 7th or 8th round to get that running back, what that means for win rate. When we're doing it from a zero RB approach, are we waiting longer to get that running back position? Are we fading it longer? What's your approach there, Zach?
I think that one of the benefits to, obviously, a modified zero RB approach is the fact that you do get that elite running back early, which does possibly give you the option to maybe fade the position as a whole a little bit later on in your draft than you normally would. Obviously, we talked about zero RB being probably not drafting a running back until at least round 6 or 7. In the previous show, when we had talked about that, we used the filters for taking a running back after round 7 compared to before round 7. So if we take a look at that, if we use the Roster Construction Explorer again, we can take a look that and see that running backs in round 1 and running back 2 after, or I'm sorry, running back 1 in round 1 and then running back 2 after round 7, we get an 8.9% win rate, which jumps to an 11.9% win rate if we decide to go with the 6 running back build. But if we move the running back 2 to after round 8, the overall win rate jumps a full percent to 9.9% with a 16.5% win rate, again, if you go with a 6 running back build. I probably wouldn't be looking to take a running back much later than the 8th round to grab my running back 2, but I do think that what we see here is a couple of different things. First of all, we see that you probably can fade the running back position just a little bit more, but then we also see that that anchor running back is, or the modified zero RB approach, however you decide to define it, is kind of showing that even with less running backs at the position, the win rates can still be boosted because we know that we have that elite running back in the first round already on our team. What do you think about that, Colin? Will you usually have a few less running backs on a modified zero RB team, or will you consider waiting a little bit longer to take perhaps your RB2?
That's the big thing, is sometimes when you get into a zero RB build, when you get to round 5, 6, 7, it can be difficult when you're saying, I have no running backs on the roster. Now, I can guarantee you, the more you draft as a zero running back drafter, the less that kind of feeling pulls you in. But when you're doing those drafts, that can be the difficult part. When you have Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, somebody like that who you know, like, well, I have that guy, it takes a little bit of that pressure off. So when we're using the tools as well to make those draft decisions, it does make it a little bit easier as well, because you can start to see who's going to be there at this spot, particularly in the draft. And like I mentioned on a previous episode, if you're reverse engineering the draft with who might be there in round 14, who might be there in round 18, you will have your guys, whether it's rookies for this year, whether it's veteran players who are just later in the draft, who fall into that zero RB category, which can mean where we're looking at them and it is going to be a case where they're second on the depth chart, they need an injury to work out to become top of that depth chart. We never want a player to get injured, but like we touched in the zero RB article, injuries happen at the running back position more frequently due to the punishment that goes on the body, and that's why this approach then does work. So I would tend to be going with similar, but I would be much more confident in having that guy overall, but I still think it needs to lean in towards that zero RB approach. But I would be waiting pretty much to probably the 8th or 9th round at that point to make that second pick at the running back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Acquisition. Just because it's going to give me that little bit more confidence. And rather than in the previous model where we were talking about having to have those 8 running backs to be able to have a lot of success, with this particular one, for a 6 running back build, if you wait after round 8, it's going to jump that from 9.9% to 16.5%. So, you know, you're starting to get into those mid to high teen win percentages. They're the numbers that you want to be going with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So when we look then at, you know, basically 2 episodes, I think at this point we can clarify that modified zero RB seems to be a thing. I think it is a thing. And even as we record this, there is replies coming in on Twitter. There's a lot of interest and gifts coming in to go with the outcome. But in terms of when we look at zero RB and look at modified zero RB, as part of the approach for this series, we're trying to make them kind of as evergreen as possible. If you're listening to this the week before the season versus you're listening to it, you know, in May, that it's still going to have the same relevant information. Now, this next part might switch that up a little bit depending on ADPs, but ADPs will shift, but depending on injuries, these guys will probably still be in similar places at those times. So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some running backs that we tend to target in that range, guys we like, and I'll let you have first dibs on going through some of the guys that you do like, Zach, in that particular kind of late running back range.
Sure. So what I went ahead and did in just prepping for the show notes, I went ahead and I just pulled running backs who are going around the beginning of the 7th round all the way up until the 13th round. So we're looking at roughly the range of 74th overall to 150th overall, which I think gives you a really nice range of some decent players who you might be picking in these rounds if you did opt to go with a zero running back or even a modified zero running back approach. Without reading off all the names, just at the top of the list here, you got guys like Melvin Gordon, Raheem Mostert, Leonard Fournette, Michael Carter, and Trey Sermon are some of the first players going in the 7th, 8th, even the 9th round range. And then towards the back end of that, closer to pick 150, you got guys like Alexander Mattison, Kenny Gainwell, and J.D. McKissick. So it's a good range of players. One guy who I've been kind of chasing a little bit all offseason is Leonard Fournette, mainly because of the way that we watched him dominate in the postseason this past year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, they went on to win the Super Bowl with him, and Super Bowl Lenny, as I think he now goes by, had one of the highest scoring, actually not one of, but he had the highest scoring PPR season for a fantasy running back in postseason history since 2000. Now, you may be wondering how I know that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I can tell you that if you go over to the RotoViz screener, you can actually search the weeks during the playoffs. So if you just search over the last several years dating back to 2000, you can look and see over the course of the playoff season who has scored the most PPR points, and you will find Leonard Fournette at number one. Obviously, his start to 2020 was not a great one, but we did see him use down the stretch. He's re-signing with the Buccaneers. I think that he's going to be a very viable player who, at the worst, is maybe going to be a committee member with Ronald Jones and possibly even sprinkling in some Gio Bernard there. But I do think that Leonard Fournette proved himself more than capable of handling the workload for the Buccaneers if that's a route they choose to go. I think he has a lot of upside should an injury occur to a player, and that he still has some standalone value even if something, you know, even if all the running backs in the Tampa Bay backfield stay healthy. So he's a guy I'm targeting, and I hope I'm not too overexposed to him by the time the dust has settled on the draft season. How about yourself?
Yeah, that one is one that, like, you know, we talk about what the metrics are telling us. That Leonard Fournette, that's one that's going to hurt my heart, because obviously we have Ronald Jones there as well. But I have to agree with what you mentioned down the stretch and throughout the playoff run, how things worked out there. There's a lot of running backs that'll go in these ranges where you'll see the likes of Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, not a huge amount between them, a couple of rounds between them. We'll see you guys then. And that, like, there's three San Francisco running backs going in that range. We have Trey Sermon, we have Raheem Mostert, and Jeffrey Wilson, all going kind of off the board in those areas. So we start to see guys, you know, in those bunched up backfields, who comes out on top and who ends up being the guy that gets the most work, or do we end up with an entire season where they're all splitting the carries? So it's always interesting to see how those backfields do shake out. The guy that I really like in this range, just recently drafted, and that's Michael Carter. I think there's a road there for him to get a lot of work this year on the Jets. You know, he's going at 91 overall, basically, in terms of draft position, and I think it's a really interesting spot for him there. A couple of other guys that are interesting in there that I think could have big seasons. Tony Pollard's always been somebody who we've looked at from a zero RB perspective. Obviously, we don't want anything to happen to Ezekiel Elliott, but Pollard has shown that he has standalone value at times. He has shown that he can make explosive plays at the NFL level. And I think whether, still, let's say hopefully something works out for him in Dallas this year, but I think that if he gets out of Dallas after his rookie contract, I think he's somebody who could be a really, really explosive playmaker. So I really like Pollard there as well. And I'd be remiss to mention if we didn't say some of my favorite pass catching running backs over the last couple of years, and then over last year, Nyheim Hines is somebody I've always liked. I'll probably keep continuing to have shots at him this year. And JD McKissick had a very strong PPR season last year. Still think that there's going to be value in him at such a late spot in those drafts. There will be those spike weeks, so that's going to be interesting. If you're looking at just zero RB candidates, I mentioned how much we liked Dalvin Cook last year. Again, zero RB, this is where the misunderstanding is. We're not hoping for injuries, but they do happen. Alexander Mattison has shown that he can make some big plays as well, so another interesting person in that very late range, you know, going at pick 142 almost in terms of ADP. So I find those guys interesting. Any of those that I mentioned that you do like, or is there anyone else on the list that you want to highlight?
So the only other guy who I wanted to mention real quick, and I'm going to also just touch on JD McKissick, but is Gus Edwards. It's no secret that the Ravens have been one of the most run-heavy teams in the league since Lamar Jackson became the starter. You know, Mark Ingram is now gone, not that he posed much of a threat to begin with, and the Ravens did not add any running backs in the draft. So right now the backfield looks to be J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards as the two, you know, spearheading that operation in Baltimore. Obviously Lamar Jackson is going to take his fair share of rushes during the season, but Gus Edwards, I think, is another one of those players who definitely has standalone value in that Baltimore offense. And then in the event that something were to go south for J.K. Dobbins, Edwards is going to probably step in and fill that role of 15-plus touches a game in one of the more run-heavier offenses in the league. And then to touch on J.D. McKissick, I had posted, actually, this is just kind of more for my own comedic enjoyment, but I think it was a funny point to make. I'm not sure if you saw, but Jared Patterson, after the draft, he went undrafted. He's a rookie running back out of Buffalo. He signed with Washington. And I think that Jared Patterson has potentially a path to see meaningful touches if he makes a roster for the Washington football team. But I had just posted a tweet that said, if Jared Patterson makes a Washington football team, his path to touches is less muddy than most. Gibson is obviously in the way. Obviously, that's Antonio Gibson. But who's toting the rock if Gibson goes down? Hint, it's not J.D. McKissick. That tweet has four favorites. One of them is J.D. McKissick, who favored that tweet. So we've become good friends over the last 24 hours, but I do like JD McKissick. Maybe I should have told him that I think that he can obviously play a key role in the pass catching game, but I did think that was pretty funny. Obviously, I do like McKissick at his value going at 150.5 overall. I believe he caught like 80 passes last year or something close to that, and I just think that he's certainly a good value and obviously a player we should still be chasing in PPR formats as a zero RB candidate.
Yeah, and he's one of those sort of guys that, you know, he doesn't have to be a three down running back. He can just do his pass catching role. He's probably not going to get in there. Like, we've seen guys before, like, you know, Chris Thompson. We've seen Gio Bernard get, you know, runs between the tackles, but the main majority of his success has come as a pass catching running back. I mentioned Hines. We've seen guys like Tariq Cohen. You know, we see these guys get those opportunities, and you know, if you're getting 60 or 80 receptions a year, that there's those points in PPR formats plus whatever comes after it. You know, if there's touchdowns in there, you know, and then the yards they put up, it's just like those are the guys that I like to be getting in those later rounds, and I think it's really going to help bolster those lineups. The one thing I will ask before we wrap up in terms of zero RB or modified zero RB, I'll hold my hands up. Pretty much all of my lineups will fall into one of these two categories. And I know people will say, like, well, basically you're saying you're going to draft no running backs to the seventh or eighth round, or you're going to draft a running back and then wait. But most people will start their drafts by going, you know, maybe running back, or it could be wide receiver, running back, or, you know, whatever way they're broken up. It could be a running back in the fourth round, running back in the fifth round. Pretty confident in most of the drafts that I'll do over the entire rest of this offseason will be probably one of those two formats, and then the elite tight end format sprinkled in as well. Some of those zero RB teams might have an elite tight end in as well, because they do cross over at that area in those early rounds. But for you, is that there the approach that you'll take most of the time, where it's going to be either you know, tight end, wide receiver, or running back in round one, and then probably you're looking between tight ends and wide receivers for six picks between rounds two and round seven at the kind of start of most of your drafts?
Yeah, that's definitely the approach I'm looking to go more often than not, mainly because if I feel that if I don't go zero RB or modify zero RB, I may become that Jamal Adams locked out of the Jets facility video where I'm just not allowed back in the Rotoviz anymore. But no, I that's usually the approach where I'm going. I am obviously a firm believer in both the zero RB and modified zero RB strategies in the full PPR formats. And again, if we're talking strictly FFPC, the tight end premium, I really think just gives you more ways to kind of win at your later spots in the draft, even if you don't want to go wide receiver. You can go with that elite tight end and add that upside. Really, for me, I think the cutoff is generally around the 101 to the 106, maybe the 107, where I'll consider taking a running back. And then after that, I'm going to probably go wide receiver, tight end, and look to do more of the modified zero RB or zero RB approach, depending on what I have there. It's a preferred strategy of mine. And obviously, they're always fun to post on Twitter afterwards, so you can get those interactions up and have everybody tell you how smart you look.
Yeah, exactly. You'll either be told how smart you are or how stupid you are. It'll be one of the two. And for me, it's usually the latter. But in terms of this one, this has been modified zero RB. We mentioned that we're going to take our way through a range of different subjects, a range of different topics. And if you haven't listened into the series so far, this is episode 5. Head on back, listen through the other shows. We will be taking more shows your way. We're hoping to do probably 14 or 15 of these throughout the next couple of weeks. We're dropping 2 shows a week. It's Monday and Saturday. They will be available on RotoViz Radio's main podcast feed. Make sure you subscribe to that to get these and all the other great podcasts that come out on a weekly basis. We'll also have a podcast directory page for this season up in rotoviz.com on the website. And of course, like all the podcasts I do, I'll be tweeting them out quite frequently. So if you want to check them out, head on over to @OvertimeIreland, you'll be able to see them there. And as always, I want to finish the show by letting you know, as a RotoViz listener, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a 1-year RotoViz subscription. All you have to do is add the discount code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. Of course, you can drop us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. We always appreciate those. So I want to thank my co-host here, Zach Kruger, who you can follow on Twitter at ZK_FFB. Of course, my name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter @OvertimeIreland. And until we're back with the next episode in the series, of course, have a good one.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.